I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word. That I'm aware in my reading of the Bible, there is only one time in the Bible where I read the word omnipotent, which is our word for the day. In Revelation 19:6, in the middle of a beautiful portrait of God, John writes and says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Now, just as an aside, it's interesting in this passage that John uses figures that are in apocalyptic literature often used to describe the almighty nature of God. The mighty thunderings and the voice of waters and the voice of many people. All these things emphasize the power of the Lord. And so that we don't miss the point, John adds, the Lord God omnipotent. The word omnipotent itself, again, is the only time I know that it's used in the Bible, certainly not the only time the concept is found in the Bible, is the word that indicates one of the exclusive attributes of God. I don't have to sit here and define the word for you to know it means God's all-powerful nature. That's just one of the many omni attributes of the Lord. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnibenevolent. He's all-caring. He's all-good. He's omnipresent. He's in all places at once by His knowledge. He is omnipotent. God has all power. And there's a few scriptures that indicate in some way or another this omnipotent nature of the Lord to us. For example, in Psalm 147, verse 5, the psalmist writes and says, "Great is our Lord, and of great power." And then notice the ending of that is, "His understanding is infinite." Now, if we put two and two together and we look at the parallels in the Hebrew language, the power of the Lord must be as infinite as His understanding. If the Lord's understanding has no limit, then neither does His power. God's power is without limitation. How about this? In Matthew 19, verse 26, Jesus says, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." The idea is that nothing can be restrained from God because He is indeed all powerful. So these and many other verses in the Bible show us that God has all power. So I want to ask you today, what does that really mean for us in a practical manner? When we're saying, okay, God has all power, we know that there's nothing constrained from the power of God. How do we make application of that? Well, first of all, again, it means there are no limits to the power of God. You know, there are some people in this world who have begun to develop the idea that God may be limited in some way, that God's power may be great but not really all-powerful. And when we read in the Bible that the power of the Lord is great and His understanding is infinite, knowing that His power is as infinite as in His understanding, there's no limitation to the power of God. When we look at a passage like Matthew 19:26, where Jesus tells us that nothing is too hard for God, it indicates that nothing is withheld from His will. Look at creation. I mean, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, and the mere expression of His will brought all things into perfect existence. I love the way it's even worded in the text, that when God spoke, it was already past tense, completed in perfection. That's the power of the Lord. How about this? Number two, God's power is consistent with His nature. I hear skeptics often say, well, if God is so great, couldn't God sin? And He's all powerful. He's got the power to sin. No, God's power is consistent with the rest of His nature. God is holy, so His power doesn't conflict with His holiness. I hear skeptics sometimes say, well, if God is so powerful, can't God make a square circle? Can't He make a triangle with two right angles? No, because God is logical. His power is logical too. It's consistent with the rest of His nature. So the power of God is consistent with who He is and all of His attributes. But I'll tell you why it's really important for us today. I don't know how many people I have met in my lifetime. I'm sure I'll meet more. Who, when you begin to engage them in conversation, are quite remorseful for the sins that they've committed. They're ready to give them up. They want to change. But in their mind, they think, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what horrible things I've committed. Surely God can't forgive me. And I hate that they use that word, but they really do. They'll say, God can't forgive a person like me. Yes, He can. If God is all-powerful, there is nothing too hard for God. If God forgives sins, there's not a single sin that's too hard for God to forgive. He can forgive it because He's all-powerful. So God can do that because He is the all-powerful God. He is the Lord God omnipotent, our word. I want to leave you with this. Inasmuch as God is powerful to forgive sins, He also has the power to condemn. Don't ever forget that. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 5, Jesus speaks and He says, "But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." God has power to condemn too. God is all powerful. So let us, as we examine God, as we're examining words in relation to God, let us stand in awe of God because He is omnipotent. I hope you appreciate that word a little bit more after today's lesson. That's been our word for today, omnipotent. I'm David Smith, and this is In a Word.